Lord, I'm trusting in your grace. I'm trusting in your anointing. I'm trusting in you making your word come alive to us tonight. And I pray, Father, that you would touch every heart. Lord, that you would accomplish your purpose, Lord, for this evening. We give you praise and give you thanks, for you're such a wonderful and great God. We magnify your name, Lord. We lift up your name. We exalt it, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, for you are worthy. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You know, when I first got saved, I kind of worried, I don't know where I got this impression from, but I got the impression that now that you're saved, everything is going to be well and not going to have any more troubles. Did anyone ever find out that that didn't really work out so good for you? You know, it seems, and the Bible is full of that there's going to be troubles, there's going to be trials and difficulties. And so the title of my message tonight is, how are we to navigate trials and temptations, difficulties, problems? How are we going to navigate that? And what should our attitude be when we go through these? And one of the things that I really believe is very, very important in this, we need to have the big picture. You know, I'm going through my little problem here, and it's really, you know, serious to me. And I'm going through it, and it's a difficult time and everything. You know, and I get so wrapped up in that that I'm really not looking at the big picture. How does this fit in with what the Lord is doing? And what should my attitude be as I'm going through that? There was an illustration one time of a big elephant, and they had three blind men, and they'd never seen an elephant. They didn't know anything about an elephant, but they took one up there, and they put his hands on the trunk of the elephant. They took the other blind man, and they put it on the sides of the big tummy. And then the other one, they took around back over here, and they gave a hold of the tail of the elephant. Now, then they wanted them to explain the elephant. What's this elephant like? Well, can you imagine what that might have been? Part of what they saw was true, but they didn't have the whole picture. And I think sometimes when we go through difficulties and problems, one of our problems is we don't have the whole picture. And we need to have the whole picture. We need to see the big picture. James 1, verses 2 to 8. We're going to go through a lot of scripture tonight. James 1, verses 2 through 8. What should our attitude be? Well, right here it says, my brother, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Well, that doesn't sound very appetizing. You know, oh me, oh my, do I got to go through this? You know, no, we're supposed to have joy. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. That's kind of an interesting thought there. Patience. Testing of your faith produces patience. You know, God doesn't always work in our microwave society like we think. You know, he had to be quicker here, Lord. You know, I'm going through this, Lord. How come you're not here right now to help me? And sometimes there's a little period of time there. And this, the testing of our faith produces patience. And what does patience do? Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I don't know about you, but I'd like to be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. I see a big space there that, you know, I got a lot of growing to do in that. And if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. So we can definitely go to the Lord where he invites us to come to him. Lord, give me wisdom in this situation. I'm not going to ask you why I'm going through it, but if you'll just give me the grace to go through it and give me some understanding on what you're accomplishing in my life. And so God gives grace, gives us wisdom liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. But verse 6, and here we go. But, you know, there's a lot of buts in the Bible, you know. There's a lot of ifs there, too. There's a lot of ifs. If you, any of you lacks wisdom. But let him ask in faith. With no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. You know, my sister and brother-in-law invited us to come out to Ocean Shores for a couple of days. They had a timeshare deal, so we got to spend a couple of days with them. And we were watching those waves. They were coming in, huge waves that were coming in. And every once in a while, you see the wind catch those, and it just blow it all up. It's like it was blowing this stuff up twice or maybe three times as high as the actual wave. And I would not want to be out in a boat out in that stuff. But it was beautiful. And he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And when you read through the Old Testament, you'll find some places, you'll see some double-minded men in the Old Testament. But I think one of the important things for us, we must know the truth. As I think we could say, follow your spirit. Don't follow your mind or your body. Follow your spirit. If you're seeking the Lord and walking with the Lord, follow your spirit, not your mind or your body. Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, every hindrance, everything that's holding us back, and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And I think one of the greatest sins out there is a sin of unbelief. Unbelief. Because if you don't believe God, you are going to be a double-minded man. You are going to be unstable. And that's a sin. And that can easily ensnare us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And how do we do that? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. Looking unto Jesus, excuse me, who for the joy, can you imagine joy going through the experience of the cross? What was the joy about? The joy was about knowing that when he went to the cross, and when he died on that cross, and he would eventually be raised from the dead, that he was going to bring many sons into glory. Hallelujah. He was going to be the propitiation for our sins. He was going to be the only solution that we had to come into the Father's presence. And that brought joy to him. And he endured what he went through because of that joy. And I think it says, consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. You know, when the Lord allows us to go through things, there's a purpose for it. You know, faith, you don't have to have faith that everything's just given to you right there. But faith is required when you don't see the answer and you have to believe for it. And I think when we're going through things, if we stand back and see the whole picture, we can get a little better handle on going through those things. 2 Peter 1, verses 2 through 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Not just added to you or give you a little dab here, a little dab there. No, be multiplied to you in the knowledge. Here we go, this word knowledge, and you'll find this in several places in the New Testament. Knowledge. It's very, very important that we have knowledge and have the right knowledge. Knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As His divine power has given to us some things. No, given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. I mean, when he made the way for us, He provided the way for everything that we have need of. In our life that we walk as a Christian, we have everything that we have need of to get to heaven and to be, to bring praise to the Lord. Given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the, here's the word again, knowledge. We have to have the knowledge. It's so important that we get in the Word and we know more about God than we know God. We need to know the God of the Word and we need to have that knowledge. If you don't have that knowledge, you're just walking out there in limbo. You have no power, you have no authority, you have nothing. Unless you have that knowledge of Him who called us by His glory and virtue, and by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises. He's given us these precious promises, and it's through these that you become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. And even when Jesus was and temptation in the wilderness, and the devil came up and tempted him. How did he defeat the devil? With the Word. With the Word. When the devil comes against us and we're going through difficulties, how do we get through that? With the Word. We quote the Word. We speak the Word out. Hallelujah. So Jesus used the Word against Satan when he was tempted in the wilderness. Now, Paul had it all together. Philippians 3:10, he said, that I might know Him. And I want to really know Him. There's a scripture over there in Matthew 7, I believe. It talks about people that were doing the right kind of things. They, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in Your name, we cast out devils in Your name, and we did miracles in Your names. And He'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, because I never knew you. I never knew you, never had a relationship with you. And one of the most important things that we can do in this life is to have a relationship. We need that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Do I have to go through suffering? Some more suffering? Yeah? Being conformed to His death. Okay, you need the bigger picture again. These are things that we are going to be going through. And we need to have that bigger picture of that. Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us a little bit with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. No. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Did you know that you were chosen by God before the foundation of the earth? He knew you because He was going to be creating you. He formed you in your mother's womb, and He knew you back then. Hallelujah. And He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we be holy and without blame before Him in love. That's what our lifestyle was going to be. We're going to be holy and without blame before Him in love. Having predestined us, or predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood and the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known, again here you get this idea of knowledge again, having made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. Now think about that. At some point He's going to be gathering us all together. We're going to be gathered with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. We're going to be gathered together with David, King David. We're going to be gathered together with all of those people. Hallelujah. And in Him, verse 11, also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined again, according to the purpose of Him who works all things, according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. So He's given us, not only saved us and everything, and He's walking with us and helping us and giving us everything we have need of to fulfill the call that He's placed on our life, but He sealed it with His Holy Spirit. It's like a down payment. You go down and make a down payment, put some money down on something, on a piece of property or whatever, that's yours until nobody, they can't sell that up from under you. And He sent the Holy Spirit as a promise to us that He's going to bring all these things to pass. Hallelujah. He is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. And praise God, one of these days He's coming back again. So where He is, we'll be with Him together. Hallelujah. And we'll ever be with the Lord. 2 Timothy 1, verse 12 to 14. And for this reason, I also suffer these things. So Paul suffered a lot of things. But you know, if you really think about Paul, when he was Saul of Tarsus, remember, he wasn't so nice a guy. He put people to death, caused people to be put to death. He caused Stephen to be stoned. He put people in prison for being Christian. And So the Lord was going to use him in a mighty way, but he was also going to have to endure a whole lot as a result, I believe, of his beginning. But he says here, for this reason also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him until that day. He knew what he's committed to God, that it was going to be a secure thing. So he says in verse 13, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me, in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. So one of the things we're to do, too, is we're to hold fast. You know, that's what you talk about, patience. You know, it talks about, you know, what we're doing, and we need to hold on to our faith in the Lord. We need to have patience. And that good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells within you. Every one of us has got some kind of gifting from the Lord. Every one of us. Got some kind of gifting from the Lord. And we are to use that for the Lord. And don't lose it. Don't be like the one servant that went and took the one mina, you know, a little penny or whatever, and went and hid it, you know, and then gave it back to his master when he came. Don't be like that. No, you take and you use that gift that you have. Hallelujah. And I'm thinking too here. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Boy, that's a pretty secure place. If you're hidden in Christ with God, man, the enemy can't really get to you. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. You don't want to be building a kingdom down here. You know, sometimes we can get kind of wrapped up in some projects or something, and we can get all tangled up with our time and everything else in building something like we're going to be here forever. We're not going to be here forever. We're not going to be here forever. Don't do that. As far as I'm concerned, you can have this world, but give me Jesus. Amen. I'm ready. Hallelujah. But we have a job to do in the meanwhile, don't we? We need to share the good news with others so that they'll come with us. Colossians 1, 9 through 14. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. And to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge, here we go again, of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Oh, that's so important. That's so important. Strengthened with strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in his light. He's already done. He's qualified us. Hallelujah. The work of Christ on the cross and our willingness to follow after that has already qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. It's like he picked us up where we were and carried us. We were conveyed. We picked this up and carried from this place over to this place, which was the better place to be. Hallelujah. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 1, 21 through 23. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind. You know, the devil's after your mind. The devil comes after you, after your mind. He tries to lead you astray. He came to Eve, remember? It was in the mind. He said, has God said? You know, put question mark there. So you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. If you are not working with God, if you're not holy, if you're not a part of the kingdom of God, your mind's going to be involved in wicked works. And yet now he has reconciled the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless above reproach in his sight. Here's this word again. If indeed you continue in the faith. You see, there's an if there. He'll do this. He'll present us holy and blameless above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. You know, I've heard some stuff here quite recently. You know, everybody has got some knowledge of God out there in the world. It's in creation. And to have somebody not believe, you know, in a God that created mankind, but to believe in evolution. If you see the intricacies that's involved in the human body, in the brain, in the mind, in the eyes, you know, everything that evolved. You know what that would be like? That would be like, you know, the people that were up on the moon, they leave a chunk of metal there on the moon. Come back in 1,000 years and there's a TV set sitting there. You really believe that could happen? Well, then you might as well not believe in evolution either. So if, indeed, you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel. You don't want to be moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. And then Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, be anxious for a few things. Oh, no, it doesn't say that. Be anxious for nothing. And what is that anxious? It's a lack of faith. If you're anxious about something, you're lacking a little bit of faith. Because if you're not anxious about something, then your faith is taking over and you're on the right track. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, hallelujah, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. There's nothing like having the peace of God in your heart. When you're walking with God and to have that peace of God there, it just gives you the assurance, you know, that you're on the right track. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 24. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. Boy, they're futile. They absolutely. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Why is that? Because they did not have a love for the truth. Okay, if you have truth here and a lie here, you reject the truth, What are you going to believe? You're going to believe the lie. You don't have no choice. You're going to believe in something. You know? So if you reject the truth, you will believe the lie. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Sorry, I call them ignorant. They're ignorant. Because of the blindness of their heart. There was no knowledge of God in them. Well, they had knowledge, but they turned it aside, rejected it. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Hallelujah. And that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man. It's like taking a jacket. This is my old man. Take my jacket off. Take it off. Get rid of it. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind that you put on the new man. It's like putting on another coat. Hallelujah. Put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So it's just that simple. Take the old nature, you take it off, get rid of it, and put on the new nature of Christ. Hallelujah. And Romans 12, 1 and 2 tells a little bit more about that. It said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Yeah? It will cost us a little bit to serve God. You know, not everyone's going to be our friend. Not everyone out there is going to say good things about it. It's like a clash of spirits. And I've experienced that many times. A clash of spirits. But anyway, we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. If God did so much for you, how can you not give yourself back to him? Lord, I want to give myself to you. I love you. I worship you. You're mine and I'm yours. Hallelujah. And do not be conformed to this world or pressed into this world's mold. Man, they want to jam you down into their mold. And if you're anything contrary to that, they are against you. They try to destroy you. So don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. So this old mind that we grew up with, we were born with, this old mind needs to be renewed because we grew up in a worldly situation. It was all around us. And there has to be a change because everything that they do is wrong. Everything that they do is wrong. It's contrary to God. Romans 8, 28 to 32. And we know that all things are good. I'm sorry. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God. They work together for good. Now, are they all good? No. But they'll work together for good. To those who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. We are to become like Jesus. Hallelujah. There's the image. There's the pattern. There's what we're supposed to be like. That he might be the firstborn of many brethren, among many brethren. So when Jesus died on the cross, he rose from the dead, and he went back up to heaven, he was the firstborn among many brethren. He was the one that led the way, so to speak. He's the one that we will follow. Hallelujah. He was the firstborn among many brethren. And moreover, whom he predestined, theirs he also called. And whom he called, he also justified. In other words, just as if you'd never sinned. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Hallelujah. So if you want the glory of God to rest upon you and to be a real witness, that's what you need. Hallelujah. And verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Hallelujah. If God allowed his son to go through all of that to make a way for us, how much more will he not use that his son to freely give us all things? So when we go through difficult times, we need to hold on to God's everlasting love and his promises to bring us through to victory. And I'll say this. You know, people die. Get old, they die. That's part of life. That's part of humanity that we're living in. When we get to heaven, that's going to be a different story. There will be no death over there. But down here, even death is a victory. Because when we're walking with God and we die in the Lord, where are we? We are up there with him, and we're in a such better place, much better place than what we were down here. And that is a victory in itself. Hallelujah. So remember the whole picture. This life is just like a vapor. Just here for a moment and it's gone. And sometimes we get the idea that, well, we're going to be here for a while. Might as well make it nice and comfortable and, you know, and get all the good things and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But you know what this life is? It's like we're going to school to prepare us for eternity. We're going to school as to prepare us for eternity. And what we have over there is going to depend a whole lot on what we did here and who we trusted in here. And our confidence needs to be in the Lord. Do what you're supposed to do. Love the Lord. Give yourself to him. Don't hold back. Just go gung-ho for the Lord. Hallelujah. Philippians 1:21 says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So I don't worry about death. I'm not concerned about that, because when that happens, I'm going to be over there. My trust is in what God has done and what he is doing, and my confidence is in Christ. Hallelujah. He is able to do exceeding abundant above and beyond what we can ask or think. Hallelujah. And the joys we'll have over there. But you know, we still have joy down here, even going through the testings and the trials, because that can give us hope. You know, it builds up our faith. Builds up our faith. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to build our faith up and to make us more and more like Jesus. Hallelujah. So how are we to navigate through trials and temptations and difficulties and problems? What should our attitude be? Count it all joy. Count it all joy. And move forward. Believe the Lord. And God will be with you. And you will have the peace of God that passes all understanding in your heart. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I pray, Lord, that you will touch our hearts. God, help us to glorify you. Help us, Lord, to live for you in such a way, Lord, that we will have the peace of God that covers us, Lord, and gives us your grace Lord, I pray that you will move upon our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be salt and light in this world. And I pray, God, that you will just touch our hearts, Lord, and be with us in a special way. Bless your people this night, Lord. Strengthen us, I pray, by your power. In Jesus' name, amen.